Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
And that's our episode for the week.
I had to mute myself. I knew I would laugh too loud. Who brought a Wookiee? Mark couldn't make it this week, but Andrea brought a Wookiee.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm dying.
Yeah, she's aspirating. We need some help. She's lost the ability to breathe and swallow at the same time. Somebody help.
If anybody could, so it's much. Andrea.
I know, this is so wrong. One person who could help.
I'm just going to do the Heimlich on myself.
That works. That works well. Oh,
there's that Liz Lemon bit from 30 Rock where she like positioned the chair to
yourself.
Yeah, no, that's good.
So
it works.
So if you haven't caught on, this is Podcast 2187. And this is an excellent start for us, very fitting for our show. We don't have Mark with us tonight, as Jared mentioned, which is the sad thing. We have Jared and Andrea with us tonight, which is a happy thing. So how are you doing tonight?
Wah.
Great. And Jared?
doing okay, I guess.
All right. Oh well, God, you don't have a Wookiee.
I don't have it in me to... I can't pull it off after that.
I want to hear both your... Wookiee impressions.
I don't have one to provide.
Come on. Just make
a noise. Like, I've like never done one on purpose.
Just try it.
Because I know it's not going to work.
When I do it, it doesn't work at all. So instead, I can just do, I have a dead on, I think, like pigeon call where it's like, hold on.
That's not what I asked
for. Well, then I'll have to abstain.
It works. No, I want to hear this pigeon call. Come on.
My attempt to do a Chewbacca sound, I think, as a kid led me to figure out that I think I could do an okay pigeon call.
I need to hear this.
Hold on. that's pretty much it.
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, that was a pigeon you put next to the microphone, as far as I'm concerned.
That was me. Whoa.
Oh.
I hate it. I hate pigeons.
That was
I don't
good.
Like them either. It was imagine me like 4 being really sad playing with like a 14-inch Chewbacca action figure and being like, why can't I do it? And then just figuring out like, oh, I can do that okay.
No, but legit, that was pretty good.
Cat call, which again, I didn't even like cats growing up. I only like dogs. So I was like, this is pointless. Like, I can attract animals that have attacked me in the past.
Okay, I need to just do like a montage of your animal calls. Like, go. Just do it. Nice.
Wow, you're really good at that.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Can you do Ewoks?
No. I wish. See, again, nothing that would be of any value to me. I could do a Wookiee or an Ewok. I would have been really happy, but instead it was animals that I did not like. So vermin, sky vermin, and the only mammal that like is I didn't like as a kid because I had a bad experience.
So are there any others you can do?
I can do a really good Gollum impression.
I mean, at this point, we have to hear it.
Okay, but no one can tweet me about this because I'm already embarrassed. All right, ready?
I feel like Blake just had like a psychic like twinge. Like he's like, I'm going to tweet about something tomorrow. I don't know what it is. But...
He's not allowed to listen to this episode. All right.
Precious.
That was solid.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
It was only while Tim was saying that you had to go ahead and do it, which I agreed with completely, but it dawned on me, I feel like this whole us doing impressions of things is filling the void of Mark not being here. It's like we feel his absence. We're like, well, the guy who does good impressions.
I'm just doing the worst Chewbacca impression ever done.
Not great.
Speaking of impressions.
It's not good.
This is a good time to get to the main event for tonight's discussion, which is that we have the full trailer for Solo, a Star Wars story, and I'm sure by now everybody who's listening to this has already seen it. And if you haven't, you should go watch it. But
the fact that we couldn't record last week worked out in one way because Andrea, you weren't able to make it. Was that right?
Yeah, I worked till 3 a.m. last week.
And Tim couldn't record, which
right.
I'm learning how to fix, actually.
It's where which we'll I be appreciate. Able to
do without Tim, if possible. But over the past several weeks, I've developed a newfound appreciation for what Tim does. it seemed like it dropped like at the most opportune time for us to cover it if we were not having a week off last week. Like,
right.
It was like, time to discuss on Solo, and I have no one to talk to about it.
But no, like I said, I guess the first thing, we were talking about impressions. So Alden, Aaron Reich, and Donald Glover, we got them a better picture of them in their roles as Han Solo and Lando Calrissian. So let's start with Donald Glover and his Lando, I hate to say impression, but the job he did as Lando in the trailer, the little snippet that we saw. What are your thoughts?
Go on.
Okay. I think it was good. However, it was like 3 seconds long. But I think Donald Glover is just charming as a person. So he does well as Lando. I knew. I saw him do stand up in like 2009. So I've known for a long time that he's charming. So. But I mean, it seems like his Lando will be good, but like if he just played himself, it would probably also be good. So I'm not worried. What about you, Jared?
I don't know. I feel like he has more range than just being himself, you know, and like you're right. That he's charming.
Yeah.
But he's also, Tim and I talked about this a little bit. We had a phone conversation this weekend, and that's one thing that's kind of gotten me a little irritated. Not at all. You made me think of it, but it's not what you were saying. But like, some people who have been either down on him or less confident have been like, well, he's just going to be himself. But I feel like he has more range than that. And there's there's a lot of common crossover between his persona, you know, as a musician, as Childish Gambino, and his persona as a comedian, or his character as Troy on Community, or his character as Earn on Atlanta, or in Mystery Team, where he plays like this, like almost like character from what are they? The not Nancy Drew, but the two brothers. It's up in my mind, off the top of my head. But it was a character like from one of those syndicated like mystery books, like only in the early 2000s, where he was just like so sheltered and weird. Like he acted like he was Fred from Scooby Doo, but like everyone else was in the real world. And his characters are so varied, even though they have like overlap in a Venn diagram, but it is something that's common to all of them. But like at the same time, like he has shown enough range that I have a lot of faith in him as an actor. And I think that you're right that the one thing in common with like his actual persona that he lets through in interviews and stuff between the real him and at least a couple of his characters, at least Earn and his stand-up and his rap personas, like all those have that confidence and charm that we would expect from Lando. They have that in common with it. So I think his ability as an actor plus us having seen that specific quality done really well, I think I have a lot of faith in him in the part. And these clips have only like made me continue to enjoy like the idea of him as Lando more. So I'm into it. I've been a fan of his for a while as well. I think the first time I remember noticing him on screen, even after enjoying him as a writer on 30 Rock for a while, because he wrote several of my favorite episodes, but he's really funny in just like a split second, and he's playing a totally over the top character. But like he has like a split second cameo and he's really funny. So like he has a lot of personality and like exudes charm and likability. So I think that's number one on the requirements for Lando.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has a lot of range. I was just trying to say even if he did the bare minimum,
I got you.
Like if he just like phoned it in, it would still be good.
Right. I think the same thing with like Harrison Ford, not in all of his parts by any means, but like specifically for Han and, in Indiana Jones.
Well, he basically was like just messing around in Return of the Jedi.
Well, and he just is a charming, likable dude. So,
right.
Like, he's the same persona he
Harrison,
is.
No.
You know what I
no
mean?
No one's ever described him like that, ever.
Hey.
You've clearly never met a straight woman.
Sarcasm. Okay, now moving on.
I do think it's funny though. I knew you were being sarcastic, but at the same time, I'm like, is Tim being serious and referring to how cantankerous he is? Because he has become a very cantankerous old man, but he's still really likable and charming. You know what I mean?
Even like, as a grump.
And it's not like
it's kind of annoying.
It's not entirely put on how grumpy he is, but like the sketches he'll do on Jimmy Kimmel, it's like, okay, no, it's clear that he has a great sense of humor about himself still, because you can't sign on repeatedly to go on TV and be like, I'm a huge grump, if you're actually a stick in the mud. Like that's not, guess who doesn't do that? Like, you know, like a lot of people don't subject themselves to that.
Right.
I haven't seen Clint Eastwood willfully subject himself to that. That's an actual old stick in the mud. Harrison Ford, really good sense of humor about himself.
Yeah, and like I feel like Harrison tries to keep a good humor, even though he doesn't always feel comfortable in a lot of situations. I can always tell. I feel like he's trying to have a good humor about him.
Yeah, but I absolutely, and I think that the overall point I was trying to make by comparing him with Harrison to Donald Glover in parts as Lando or as somebody else who requires that confidence or charm. Like, I think that's not really a bad thing. People can try and characterize it as such, but sometimes it's, you know, you're either typecast or they just, someone draws on a specific quality a character actor or a general actor is really good at portraying. It's like, I think it'd be silly to try to say that like De Niro or Pacino always really stretch themselves as actors. Like they're always asked to have a lot of range. They're never typecast. Like that no one could say that, but you'd also be just as silly to say that they're bad actors or that they don't have range, because that's not true either. So I think that that's the same that could be said of Donald Glover. Like he might not have had to have shown his range in some of his more famous stuff. That doesn't mean he doesn't have it, and it doesn't mean it's a bad thing to have a quality that's like innate that you just exude, that casting directors like use you as a go-to for. DJ Qualls has the goofy weirdo guy, and some of that's physical, some of that's his comedy, but I'm sure he's not going to complain every time he gets cast in that part. He's probably happy to be cast. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And regarding Donald Glover too, like, as Andrea said, we only have a few seconds out of a movie that's over 2 hours. So like it's a window isn't even a great good description, because that gives you more of a picture of what we have. But for the first time in a really long time, I really do genuinely feel like I'm going into this movie with very little expectations, other than I'm just being told that I'm going to have fun watching this movie. But that's it. So I'm not expecting great dramatic acting or anything like that. I'm just expecting to have a fun time. So I was perfectly fine with what I saw, no problems. If I'm Ron Howard, based off of the tiny bit we saw, I was getting the whole charm thing. I wasn't super picking up on the like smooth element to it, but that also could be just because that was just the way that line worked, you know? So I feel like when we actually see the movie and get the context of the way he's going to portray the character beginning, middle, end, we'll have a much better idea. Of course, that's the nature of trailers. But I also feel the same way for Alden Ehrenreich. We have more of him than we had for Donald Glover. But I kind of feel similarly, where we're seeing bits and pieces of him, and it's a preview, obviously, but at the same time, I'm just not really caring or putting too much stock in a trailer. I'm just going to watch the movie, hopefully have a good, fun time, and not put too much investment into it other than that.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. Oh, go on.
I don't know. I just still don't buy it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone who's tweeted about you. Everyone needs to get over someone else playing Han Solo. Blah, 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 blah. It's not about that. I just don't buy it. Like, I'm not gonna pretend. Freaking. I know we all want to live in this fake happy bubble, but let's be real. He's totally way shorter than Chewbacca. They couldn't have given him like little heels on his boots or something. Like they couldn't have given him like platform like Robert Downey Jr. Like he couldn't have stood on a box or something.
That's filmmaking 101, man.
Gandalf did it.
That's right. Like, he had all those scenes like little kids and little people, right. like with their backs turned. They did like Patty Duke technology there to save money.
Takes me out of it.
that is inexcusable because it shouldn't matter. Like that should be Hollywood 101 stuff. You're absolutely right, and I'm with you. Like, I think
he just like isn't. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Hollywood wants me to think that he's like the next big star and like blah, blah, blah. And like, he's going to be the next like Chris Pratt. He's going to be in every next movie for like the next like 3 years, like blockbuster. But I just don't, like, I don't know. He just doesn't have it. Like, he doesn't have that, like, do you guys know what I mean? It doesn't have like that charm, like that innate, like you can't like teach that to someone. Like that's not like acting skill. It's just like charm. Like John Boyega has it. Chris Pratt has it.
Yeah. Michael B. Jordan has it.
Michael B. Jordan has it. Harry Styles has it. Like that, like just start.
Charisma,
like,
kind of.
Yeah. Like you just like, you can't teach it. And when you fake it, you can tell they're faking it.
No, it's like there's a reason why Brad Pitt became Brad Pitt, and it's because even when I wanted to like punch him in the face when I was a teenage nerd, like I still liked him in all those movies. I'm still like, oh god, he's so likable. He's right, so like,
why is Dwayne The Rock Johnson in like 50 movies a year? Because he's so freaking charming. Oh,
that's another one who like on paper, like every like the large majority of people who love Dwayne The Rock Johnson the most, I think, because everybody loves him. But the people who like comprise his fan base have got to be so much like nerdy people who you got to think like all these people who have like affected them negatively or have had complexes about bullies and crap in their lives. Like they're closer to Dwayne The Rock Johnson than they are to them. But it's like still, we just like him. He's so likable and it's just nice and charming and. No, absolutely. It's interesting that the people who I feel like don't have the 100% like crossover, people who make it pretty big but don't seem to quite blow up. Because like I was listening to a movie podcast where they were talking about the Fast and the Furious movies, talking about how big, you know, all these guys are, like Vin Diesel and The Rock, like, and they're very, very big names. But a couple of the people on it, like really, really into Tyrese in it. And I've never really been a huge fan of Tyrese's. And it's always like confused me why he's in those movies, like, because I don't find him as charming as the rest of them. And it's like, and I'm like, why does everyone love Tyrese? Like, I never really buy it. Like, he always feels like a smug dude who wants me to think he's cool. And that's the vibe in the few seconds we get in these trailers that I get from Alden Ehrenreich. Like, it's these, we were talking about it right before the show started, but in the trailer, he has these moments where he's not like making a mean face or like a tough face. He's got a giant grin on his face, like he's saying the cleverest thing you've ever heard, or he's so proud of himself. And it's just like, that doesn't – it's a trait that Tan should have but shouldn't be, like, constant. And maybe it's just a poor choice in the trailer, but either way, that's the vibe I'm getting. And I want to either be open or positive about it. I don't want to be, like, getting a bad vibe off it. And so far I'm with you, Andrew, where it's just like, not buying it, not falling for it.
I mean, basically – my expectations are as long as this movie has sound working when I'm in the theater and like makes me laugh and I can eat popcorn and like sneak in a bottled water in my purse, like I'll be happy. And that's I feel like that's where the expectation should be with that. So like if he's not amazing, fine, but
like
Hollywood needs to chill. Like I ain't buying it what they're selling.
Well, like, I wasn't particularly impressed with what I saw, but I wasn't disappointed either. I'm just like, okay,
right, like
there's Han, okay.
Like laughably bad or anything. Like, it was I was just like, eh.
Again, something that Tim wanted me to say on the show, and I said, I feel a little bit like I'm being like a Star Wars hipster. Like, I'm being more contrarian than I want to be. And it's not an intentional thing. Like, I don't want to be down on it. And I don't even think I'm being that down on it, but I think because I want to be positive, like it's having like a negative feedback. So like having a neutral to negative vibe feels way worse than it is. Feels like I'm like giving it like a negative 5-star rating on his performance when actually I'm just like, I wish I was either more completely neutral or positive, but right now I'm a little bit down on it. Like, and it's not, I'm not convinced he's going to suck. I'm just not enthusiastic, and nothing I've seen has made me more enthusiastic than I started off at. Whereas like everything else, except for the shuffling around with some of the casting, has made me more happy about it. You know, and when the direction, like all the character stuff I've been okay with, you know, I don't know, like none of the performances seem like they're going to be dreadful. And so that's definitely good. I'm not trying to be like that head down on it. It's just, I want to be excited. And you're right that just having like zero expectations is the best way to go about it. You both put it that way pretty much, but it's hard to go into Star Wars with that setting. You know, I've gone to every Transformers movie I've ever seen, which I guess is about like three of them in the theater. Is that right? And two of them at home. God, did I really see three of those in the theater?
I've never watched any of those movies.
Oh, they're not great. The last one I didn't pay for, but they,
yeah, but if you go in with the expectation that it's just a popcorn movie, then it's fine. Like, not every movie needs to like blow my mind.
You're totally right. And I just, it's hard to go, to have that setting, because I don't even expect Star Wars to blow my mind. It's just the attachment to it, makes it more important. And I guess this is what everyone who was like, I don't know about all these Star Wars movies, meant on some level when they were like, it's not going to feel as special to them. Because in some ways I get it in a way I didn't before, because it's more like the other franchises I'm really used to there being so much material in. Like, I love Batman, love X-Men, love lots of superhero stuff, love Lord of the Rings, but like I don't love every single thing, every single iteration or adaptation of it, because there's so many. And I can't like have that brand loyalty for no reason. Like, well, it's got a bat logo on it, so I don't care what it says or does. like that doesn't help me in any way to have that kind of hardline position. So I don't need to have that feeling about Star Wars. It's just, I got so excited about everything that was on, you know, on the docket that I kind of lost sight of the fact that this is just another franchise. Even though I love everything in it, you know, to a certain degree, I don't love every single piece of it, you know? Like, I don't know.
Do you know what's... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, if you don't love every part of it, you have to not be a fan and turn your fan card in, but that's all.
Oh, I know. I have so many shirts that I don't know what to do with now.
Have you ever noticed that the people who preach about not gatekeeping are kind of gatekeeping?
100%, but yeah, I know what you mean. I definitely know what you mean.
Sometimes.
Yeah, there's some weird, weird cognitive dissonance sometimes where it's like, everyone who disagrees with me is gatekeeper.
If you don't like this actor as Han, you are not supportive of the series. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like. Like, the attitude that, like, well, if you don't like everything, you're not a real fan. It's just like, okay, what?
I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go back to work now.
Like, and I'm really just sick and tired of this mentality of real fan versus fake fan. Like, I'm just tired of hearing it.
I honestly consider myself fake, and I'm fine with it.
Well, and it just feels like nonsense. If you like it, you like it. There's no initiation test you need to pass.
Yeah,
there's
you know,
prerequisite. It's like why would we
like, who determines that?
20 minutes. The last, I walked in, you know, my friend watching the last 20 minutes of one of the new Star Wars movies, and I was really into it, and I want to check out more. It's like, screw you. You don't know enough about it already. Well, like that's that attitude. It's the same. Oh, it's so weird how people are so against change.
But like, I do feel like we need to add to the podcast Twitter bio that we have a fake fan on
that
the show.
Was me.
Yeah.
Officially,
like, we should brag. That's cool.
Do you know what this movie is good for, though? If you
money.
Go to Disneyland or Disney World with your significant other and you see the Solo merch, which is just a t-shirt that says Solo, you could make a joke like, if they're like teasing you, you could make a joke like, hey, I'm about to put this shirt on because I'm about to be Solo. It's really funny, guys. It's really funny.
Gonna mark down this time to add the crickets sound effect.
Stop.
You think I'm joking? Anyway, so I also wanted to mention, even though Mark's not here, that there's a picture from, and I'm just saying this specifically because he's not here. There's a picture from Empire magazine of Voss, and to the left of the picture, to Voss's right, you see in the background clearly red, or a person in red Mandalorian armor. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that it's not Boba Fett, but it's just cool that you will have some sort of Mandalorian armor here, at least in the background, and oh, yeah, I'm sure that'll make him very happy.
I've been very little online the last like 4 or 5 days, and that's been I've seen that. Like I've seen talk of that. People are freaking out about it.
It's just cool to see that aesthetic, though.
So are we gonna call him like what, Noba Fett? What's his name for now?
This is no, yeah. Let's name him like right now.
That, I think Noba Fett's pretty good.
It's pretty good, but I feel like we can do something a little bit more. Like this isn't gonna work, but like shirtless Fett would be more like us. So, like there's red Tinkle Fett.
What just happened?
Wait, what did you just say, Tim?
What?
Tinkle?
Yeah, like you know.
Like go favorite... Tinkle?
No. No, 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 that's not, like, no, I said like, no, not like that, like our favorite like author.
Tingle.
Yeah.
Like Chuck
with the G.
Oh, I thought I heard it as like trying to potty train a toddler being like, go tinkle.
No. So, definitely not.
I have a distinct, one of my earliest memories is like 5 years old and one of my, my cousins are much older than me. The oldest cousins. Oldest child is just a couple months younger than me. I went to junior high with her and grew up with her. And at one point at their house, I heard her and her sister, one of them needed to go to the restroom. And their grandma, my aunt, referred to going to the bathroom as tinkling, as going to take a tinkle. And I was like, what the hell are they talking about? Like the only time I'd heard of it was like in reference to like a jingle bell sound effect. And I'm like, what? Madness is going on in this house. So I like the people are jingling bells in the bathroom with the doors closed. Like I'm like I don't understand. Like I'd never heard that term at like four or five. Like it was such a weird reference. And I had a similar feeling just now, thinking that Tim was suggesting we call him Tinkle Fett. Like I'm like I'm missing something. like I'm super lost.
Yeah,
so
no,
that was a weird deja vu.
That's a miscommunication right there.
You sent me back 30 years, Tim.
So, you know, I'm just going to... Yeah, we're not going to name him anymore. that was a good idea in
hashtag
the moment.
Noba Fett, hashtag Tinkle Fett. Hashtag Tingle Fett.
If Pablo Hidalgo can ever listen to an episode of this show...
He does like Chuck Tingle. We talk about him so much. There's several... episodes. Once you come up with the concordance, that's the second phrase you got to come up with. You got to highlight is Tingle. Every mention of Tingle in the concordance.
Yeah, and that eventual one that is never going to happen. Yeah. I mean, if somebody else wants to do it, I will be more than happy to oblige. But
I could not re-listen. Yeah.
No.
Our gibberish. I love. But like I couldn't start over.
I guess one other thing that I'm going to be forced to discuss about this trailer, Andrea, is the music. So just, which is something I never thought I'd say. But go ahead, Andrea, and talk about the trailer music.
This tone is so weird. From
what? Why? What was the condescension?
He likes talking
Timothy.
About
no, it's not that. It's that the fact that I said that I'm being forced to talk about the trailer music. That's
right,
what I never thought I'd say.
But you chose to phrase
it was just. Listen, it's just, I don't know if, I'm assuming it's from the movie, like it's the original score.
It won't
Friggin'
be.
Why? I want guitar. I want guitar in Star Wars. I didn't know I wanted it, but now I know, and I want that guitar.
Technically, there is a guitar in Rogue One. Technically.
You're so annoying right now.
Yeah, I can't believe you just well actually'd her on our own show.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Amazing.
On this episode of Podcast 287, Andrew gets mansplained.
I need Mark.
I'd say something for your defense, Tim, but I think...
Yeah, Jared, can you make cat noises?
A cat noise alarm. I really wish I had an air horn. I'd be like, bam, 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 bam. Like every time somebody mansplains. From now on, We need a foghorn.
Someone corrected Andrew.
So we said the term.
How dare you do this in 2018, the year of non-splaining?
How about some mansplaining, huh?
Yeah.
Not what mansplaining, Tim.
Mansplaining.
Why did I gender my droid?
So anyways, I really liked the song. I think everyone should go re-listen to it because I did not think it got appreciated enough in that trailer. So this is your part.
It made me think of our friend Mark, who, you know, God bless him, couldn't make it this week. I'm talking about him like he's dead.
I know. Like, rest in peace.
Yeah. Our poor, lost to us, Mark.
Who would have been good at these impersonations? Right. Mark, if he was still with us.
Can you hear us, Mark?
He's with us in spirit.
He's going to be back next, like, what the heck, you guys?
If he listened to Once He Wasn't On, he would.
I feel like that was like a dig or something.
Yeah, I doubt he listens to the ones he's on. Just doesn't feel like Mark's vibe.
Yeah, that's true.
But
he has listened to ones he wasn't on in the past, but just not
I
regularly.
That, like, legitimately, if he did, I really didn't mean it to be snarky. I apologize if that, that tone came across. No, but I was just thinking of him when we were you're watching the trailer. When you're talking about digging the guitar, and then just now, it has a real, you know, twangy kind of vibe, and I like a lot of songs that are rock, you know, that contain a banjo. I've discovered, and I like whenever I think about it, whenever I'm listening to one, it makes me think, like, I wonder if this is like my hillbilly roots, because again, as when Mark was like, oh, you've lived in Portland for too long, I have hillbilly relatives named Cletus who have 9 digits on their hands, you know, like they're missing fingers. I'm full on a hillbilly, but yeah, I dug it because it felt like twangy, kind of like old school bluegrassy or westerny. It didn't feel like twang pop, like country music, but it had some kind of vibe that reminded me of like a, you know, a spaghetti western, which is something that we know that Mark really would like to see in Star Wars, and it made me hopeful that it'll have that vibe for him, because I think that'll make the experience of seeing it more fun too, because I'm going to be seeing it with Mark and he'll be excited to see it. If it has Boba Fett or a Western flavor, or both better.
So yeah. I do have to, because I almost forgot, and I just want to mention before I forget again, there is one other thing I'm obliged to mention on, not obliged, obligated. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm obligated to mention on this show. On Thursday of this week, there will be a new mode on Star Wars Battlefront 2. And this will make a lot of people happy. It's called Ewok Hunt. I believe that's what it's called. And,
oh my God, they make you hunt Ewoks?
Well, so the way it works is there are Stormtroopers and there are Ewoks. And you can play as both. And when you start as a Stormtrooper, if you are defeated by an Ewok, you then become an Ewok. And you have to overtake the Empire. And that is coming out on Thursday of this week.
Playing as an Ewok sounds fun.
I don't know. People still paid Battlefront 2.
So it's actually been picking up recently with a lot of the changes that they've been making. And I think they changed the progression system and a whole bunch of stuff. They're making a lot of changes.
And
no, but seriously, like, player engagement is starting to pick up significantly recently. So.
Well, you know what? I'm in the tutorial part.
Still not gotten it. I don't know.
Ewoks.
I keep dying. I'm trying to get off I'm in the prologue or whatever. I'm trying to get off the ship. I just keep dying. And I'm like, okay, I give up.
Have you gotten like through the air vents yet or anything?
Yeah, I did that part. I'm at the end where she's like running and like trying to get to the escape pod. And I just keep getting killed. And
it's like, actually, it really is a good story.
I watched it on YouTube. It was very good. I knew I would never get through the game.
But it's good. And again, just another reference, the Battlefront book is a really, really good book. Just if you haven't read it or audiobook, listen to it or whatever, you can still do it. It's Christy Golden, and she's a good Star Wars author, and it's a good book. Check it out.
There's the one other thing about Solo, to backtrack a little bit, that I noticed, because the way they're kind of talking about stuff, it seems like online and magazine, you know, official articles like Empire and whatnot, and everything, they're kind of positioning Dryden Voss from that in the trailers, like maybe he's a bad guy or the bad guy. And I thought that was interesting just because of what Michael K. Williams had said previously about being like another rogue who's kind of a rival and all this. And like he was the old dog and Han Solo was a young buck and they were both competing a little bit, showing off for Emilia Clarke. And I'm like, that sounds nothing like this. So like nothing like the way they're portraying it. So if that's the case, assuming that he wasn't just doing real good, like that his NDA you know, requirements or just his coolness to Ron Howard and everyone else involved with like to like play defense and give them a weird cover story. You know, assuming that's not the case, it seems that there were more changes than just recasting because of scheduling conflicts, but like actual like big story changes that came along with the changes with Ron Howard, like not just directorial changes, but serious story changes. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
And like with the Kasdans being the ones who wrote the script, you know, I feel like to an extent they still have oversight on the story itself.
Well, I'm sure they're heavily involved and they're still executive producers.
Right.
You know?
I mean, not that Ron Howard doesn't have any influence on the story either, of course, but
It might be a case too where Larry is more inclined to listen to Ron Howard than them for whatever reason. Not necessarily because of their content or even working style, but just because of their, you know, common history with a lot of the same people, like they run in the same circles. You know, when you're all friends with Spielberg and Lucas, it's not crazy to think maybe, and you know, and there's not the same age, but a similar age range, much closer than Lord and Miller. It just feels like it's not out of the realm of possibility that they'd be cooler with him calling some shots that they weren't as cool with them. And who knows? I mean, some, you know, we haven't gotten a whole lot of details about anything, but some of the reports about the friction that was there on the set seem to be from Kasdan working with them. So it's possible.
So, I guess just one other thing that I have personally been curious about, and I want to hear what your thoughts are, is the date for tickets. When are we thinking that we will be able to get tickets for Solo?
When's it come out?
May 25th. So, and like with episodes 7 and 8, tickets were in mid-October for mid-December release, right? And obviously this isn't an episode, but we're closer already.
Maybe like May the 4th.
So that would make sense if they did that.
That's what I would do personally.
Disney's
looking
to
hire a nurse.
But, well, Jared, what do you think?
I don't know. Well, I was thinking that if it's more like Avengers, which had the surprise date move up and stuff, you know, that was still like a month ahead of time. So maybe in a week and a half or something. I really don't know. Or a week. I have no idea. It just feels weird, like, because I'm going to be going with that big group of Mark and Ron and then the most of the Making Star Wars family, you know, everyone who's based out of here. Like I've been talking with Amanda and Mark and whatnot about when we're or where we're going to go and everything. And like, they still don't know, you know, if Jason and Amanda don't know, don't have an idea. Like I'm just like, I don't know when the tickets are coming, but like that feels weird to me. You know, usually they at least are like, well, we're hearing this and that, you know, they have some inkling, at least it feels like ahead of actually knowing when it's going to happen.
Yeah,
they've had an idea. So just like with a lot of stuff with Solo, it just feels like maybe they're flying by the seat of their pants, these Lucasfilm guys. Maybe they don't know.
Let's check the weather today. Is it a day people might go out to buy tickets? We'll see. I mean, it's online anyway, so whatever. But that was a better statement in my head before I said it.
I just like that they're reading. I took it differently than you meant it, I think, because it made perfect sense to me. I was imagining someone reading the weather as signs.
I was thinking how it affects your mood or purchasing habits or something like that.
Well, I was just thinking much more arcane than that. Like looking out, looking out the weather, and then like tossing a handful of chicken bones and like looking at the shapes they're making and like more like reading tea leaves. I'm thinking,
for all I know, that is what they're doing.
Like Lucas Spielberg, like, well, the weather patterns say now's the most auspicious time. On sale now, Twitter.
And will we get better like Sabacc card games after this movie? Do you think?
Don't they have one now? Like it's like part of
like maybe, but like.
Like a high quality replica stuff, you mean?
Like? Well, just because, like, I know there was that one from Celebration that was awesome that they gave to, like, three people. I mean, it was more than that, but in the whole scheme of life, it felt like three people. So just, yeah, I guess something more like that. I don't know.
My hopes, I don't know. It seems like they do both everything and they can in terms of merchandising, but also sometimes... companies still just miss really obvious stuff that they should do. So I feel like they should.
Wasn't there a little while back? Wasn't there a story about the trademark disputes with that or something?
I don't know.
I want to say like Disney was having some sort of dispute proceedings regarding copyright or trademark or something, and Sabacc, because there was some company out there that made another game that was similar with a similar. Okay, I need to look it up before we go, because now it's going to... I can't end on that. Okay, let's see. Oh, I spelled it wrong. Disney files trademark suit to protect Star Wars card game from a few months ago. So there was a mobile app that was based on a Star Wars card game. Skipping through... apparently, Lucasfilm never trademarked Sabacc. Let's see. Okay. So it says that it's not clear if Disney plans to feature Sabacc in any of its own Star Wars merchandise for Solo. But it was just like the way of the timing, I guess. This is an article in Variety, by the way. So I guess that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Cool.
So, cool. Andrew, before we do go, we have to cover this week's, what do you call it? Vanderpump's ruling or whatever we call this portion. We have to talk about Vanderpump rules.
You know the name.
That's
no,
not
I know. Whatever the name of our segment.
Oh.
We need a name for the segment.
You say as if it's actually a segment. Good enough. I appreciate that segment.
I'll think of something. I'll think of something. Give me till next week. Bravo. No. I'll think of something. Don't you worry.
Okay, so what we're going to do...
Nothing about Britney breaking down crying over Jax?
Listen, I didn't watch this week's yet because we've been recording, so...
What we're going to do, though, is we're going to recreate the end of A New Hope. And what I mean by that is we're going to have... epic music, and then we're gonna have an Andrea Chewy growl like we began with, and then the exit music, right?
Okay.
So that's you better get a good Chewy impression. Okay.
Let me take a sip of water.
Yeah, I guess I should just go ahead and say that. Hopefully, Mark will be back with us next time. If he comes back from the dead or whatever we were saying earlier. Okay. All right. So now we need to be silent, let Andrea take us out like we started, and have music and all that awesome stuff. So we'll see you next time, and thank you for listening, and Andrea, go.
Wah!
That went well.
That was the worst one.
That's so great. Out of all those.
Wah!
You guys got me to do Dr. Doolittle stuff, and...
It just sounds like R2 screaming.
That works. That's a pretty great R2 screaming. That was an okay Chewie earlier. That's just there. That was excellent.